Time now for your letters. Many listeners had a strong reaction to last week's interview with the all-girl rock band The Donnas. John O'Donnell of Raleigh, North Carolina writes, "I enjoyed the piece, but you broke the cardinal rule of old radio, which is no bass guitars before noon." Well, a few of our listeners apparently haven't heard about that rule. Steve Davis of Derby, Connecticut says, "Thank you for brightening our Saturday morning with The Donnas. What an unexpected treat. Their exuberant riffs may have scared off some of the Car Talk audience for a moment or two, but we NPR listeners, whose maturity doesn't yet match our age, really appreciated it. We want more rockers on NPR." Now, several people wrote with concern last week that in phrasing a question to Dan Shore, I seem to accept that if no reforms are made to the U.S. Social Security system, either benefits will be cut or funds will run out. Cindy Waltershausen of DeSoto, Wisconsin says that's an inaccurate statement. The Social Security Fund is in good shape until the year 2042 or 2052, depending upon whose figures are used. All these future estimates are very conservative, which means that the Social Security Fund could well be solvent until 2090. What else in the federal government is solvent for such a long period of time? Sarah Raskin of Washington, D.C. wrote about Paul Landgraver's first-person account of surviving the tsunami in Thailand. "Thank you for airing this hauntingly written piece," she says. "As a public health professional whose job it is to try to prevent and respond to some of life's most troublesome events, I sometimes worry I have to set aside emotion for pragmatism. Thank you for making me feel human again." Finally, David R. Work of Chapel Hill, North Carolina, thinks we ought to give caffeine its proper credit in American history. He was moved right after hearing our interview with T.R. Reid about his cover piece for National Geographic on the worldwide love of caffeine. "We probably owe the existence of the United States, at least in part, to caffeine," writes Mr. Work. "The Boston Tea Party is often cited as the response to the concept of taxation without representation, but I doubt if there would have been a similar reaction if the tax had been on indigo or burlap. The colonists were dependent on the caffeine and reacted because they were agitated about the prospect of withdrawal." Hey, Ben and Tom, how about a grande latte? We welcome your comments here at wesat@npr.org, and please tell us where you're from and how to pronounce your name.